When you're outside hiking to your next photo location, you are probably walking by so many amazing compositions, and you could really find those finer details in the grand landscape. In today's episode, that is exactly what we will be talking about. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Learn Landscape Photography Podcast. I'm your host, Austin James Jackson. Really excited for you to be here today. In today's episode, we are talking to a photographer who I think really, really does a nice job of finding those finer details in the grand landscape. We're talking about things that a lot of people would normally just walk by. We're talking about rocks and seaweed and stuff like that that maybe you might not think is very photogenic, but if you know what to look for and you really pay attention to it, you might find that you can create some really compelling, nice images that are these finer details in the grand landscape. In today's episode, we're talking to Ian Gaston. Ian is fantastic at this kind of photography. He's going to share with us some tips, some tricks, and some things that he does in order to capture these amazing photos. Really excited for today's episode. Here's my conversation with Ian Gaston. All right, Ian Gaston, welcome to the Learn Landscape Photography Podcast. Really excited to have you here today. Will you go ahead and tell us about yourself for some of our listeners that may not be familiar already?
Sure. First off, thanks for having me on. I'm excited to chat photography. So I've been doing it for about 12 years now, so it's been a while. I'm based out of the Santa Cruz Mountains in a little town called Boulder Creek. It's about 4,000 people. I live here with my wife and my dog and cat. And I've just been, it's a quiet little town, so I enjoy the peace and tranquility. And I think it kind of helps me with my photography. So.
Perfect. I'm really excited today. I'm looking forward to chatting with you about finding the finer details in the grand scene, which is something that you're one of the best at. When I look at your portfolio, I just can't help but be amazed at the way that you capture some of the finer details in the most compelling ways. Will you start off by just talking a little bit about your thought process when you're going into the field to shoot images like a lot of the ones in your portfolio, like the ones you've been posting on Instagram recently and all that good stuff?
Yeah, sure. Years ago, I used to overthink a lot. I used to go into the field kind of expecting certain weather patterns. And if I didn't get that, I'd be kind of bummed. I'd pack my gear up and head back home. But recently, I've just kind of gone in with really little expectations. I kind of look at it as a hike, and I just bring my gear along for the ride just in case I see something that sparks my interest and gets my curiosity going. Then I'll take the camera out and point and shoot. So, I just figure nature is constantly changing and evolving, and I kind of need to be willing to go with that flow. And it took me a while to kind of push those anxieties aside in terms of expecting a shot. I think that type of mentality when you're expecting something is a bit detrimental to the creative process. So I think once I opened my mind and kind of willing to shoot any type of situation and any type of light, I think that really helped my photography out. So.
Yeah. I like the way that you mentioned, how you lower your expectation, because I actually did a podcast with David Thompson a while back about talking about kind of abstract and small scene photos, and he mentions the same thing, is that you got to lower your expectation, and and that really helped him find good photos. So that's interesting to hear a second person to say to lower your expectations.
It really does help.
And so one of the things I noticed about your portfolio is a lot of the shots of the things in your portfolio are things that 99 out of 100 people would walk right by and not even think twice about. They wouldn't even notice it. Mm-hmm. But you found a way to capture really compelling images of these things. I'm curious what advice you would have for photographers that want to start trying to find compositions similar to the ones that you've got in your portfolio.
Yeah, I mean, again, just don't go at it with a type of tunnel vision. I'm observing everything around me. I'm breathing in the air, taking in the scene, just listening to the birds, just trying to absorb everything I can, and always constantly looking 360 degrees all around me at the ground, just being willing to accept whatever nature kind of throws at me. So I think that's the biggest piece of advice I have to offer photographers who are trying to find smaller scenes is just, yeah, let go and just kind of go with the flow and see what sparks your interest. And if you just have to react accordingly. And yeah, I mean, there's not much else to it. It's just really, really simplify your thought process, I think.
So I'm curious what exactly you're looking for when you're trying to find an abstract or a small scene photo. Like I look at your portfolio, I see like a nice photo of some rocks. There's obviously rocks everywhere. What is so special that makes you say, okay, I'm going to pull out my camera and really find a nice composition in this bunch of rocks?
Sure. I'm really drawn to color. So if there's a section of rocks that have a lot of unique colors that interact well with each other, that usually sparks my interest. That has to have kind of a nice flow compositionally. I tend to really be attracted to diagonal lines. So if there's some nice rocks that kind of have a diagonal line, that usually sparks something in me, and I feel like I need to point my camera at it. Let's see what else. Just patterns and shapes. I'm really drawn to patterns and shapes and complementary colors. So
do you go out particularly searching for those like close-up macro kind of shots, or are you more going out for the grand landscape and you happen to find those smaller details along the way?
Well, I'll always bring a wide angle lens with me. I've always got that in my bag. So, I mean, I'll probably use it maybe 10% of the time. But I usually go into the field not expecting to get anything. Sometimes if it's my mentality is kind of based on a project, I'll specifically search for like a wood grain pattern or something like that. But for the most part, I am not really searching for anything. I'm reacting instinctually on whatever I see at that time.
Go ahead. I was just going to ask, what lens are you usually using for this kind of photography?
70 to 200 is basically the only lens I'm using right now. So,
okay. I'm curious. I always expect the answer to be no to this question, but mm-hmm. I do always ask it because people surprise me. But is there any crucial piece of gear that you bring along with you that a lot of photographers may not think of or wouldn't have?
I don't have anything special. I've got a really beat up tripod. I've got some pretty beat up gear, and I think I kind of prefer that because I get a little paranoid when I start digging in gear.
Yeah.
So I've got like duct tape on my tripod. It's an ugly tripod, but it's kind of a workhorse. So, the most crucial piece of gear I think would be the ball head I have, and I don't really like to talk gear much, but it's an Akrotech ball head. It's got like a hollow housing for the ball head, so there's it never gets dirty, and it's really lightweight and it's super stable. And yeah, that's pretty important when I get the tripod out. So
I want to take a break from today's episode and talk about a really cool opportunity if you are a beginner or intermediate photographer that is really serious about taking better photos and getting better at photography. Now, usually about 4 to 6 times a year, I teach in-person workshops around the Western United States centered around helping you become a better photographer. Now, my workshops are kept to just 5 people, which means that you will get plenty of one-on-one attention. So regardless of your skill level, whether you just picked up your first camera or whether you've been shooting for 15 years, I promise you, you're going to get so much out of it. I'm going to cater the class directly to you. Best of all, after the workshop, I'm going to add you to my alumni group on Facebook, where you can get literally weekly image feedback. We can connect at all times. When the workshop is over, it's not done. I'm still going to be your mentor. I'm going to be there to help you and become better at photography. Now, like I said, if you're serious about becoming better at photography, don't wait any longer. Register for one of my workshops this year. You can visit austinjamesjackson.com/workshops. That link will be down below in the podcast description that you can click on as well. I really can't wait to see you guys out there. So I am interested a little bit in talking about editing, just because I think your images are so incredibly well balanced. I mean, the contrast and colors just feel perfect. They're like realistic, professional looking. And so I'm curious, what advice do you have for people that want to edit their photos in a realistic way, similar to your images?
Let's see. Right when I import images, I usually don't touch much in Lightroom in terms of the saturation or vibrance sliders. I usually build up the color using contrast. And then, let's see, I usually just cool down the color temperature a bit. It's kind of the basis where I start. And then I'll do quick edits in Lightroom once I import the images, but then I'll let it sit for a couple days before I actually go in and seriously start to edit the image. And I think letting images sit a bit is really crucial in terms of getting realistic colors out of an image and really toning in that color balance. So
I'm curious if there's any trick for nailing the white balance and the contrast, because like I said, your images are just, they're perfectly balanced. And is there a trick to do that, or is it just, you got to have an eye for it?
Yeah, I think it takes a while to develop kind of your color aesthetic on an image. When I first started out, I just, you know, the whole HDR and ramping up the saturation and just because you think it looks good. But just after doing this for so long, I've tended to do less and less in terms of saturation. And I'm really into just make the image come across as neutral and realistic as possible. And I'll definitely do some targeted saturation and stuff in Photoshop and really, really dialing in that color from there. But just always sitting with your image. Don't get too anxious on releasing it right away, because it's really important to constantly go back to it and analyze it. And yeah.
So I'm curious what your editing process usually looks like for most of your small scene images. Like, is it Lightroom? Is it Photoshop? What is there any particular thing you're doing first, or what is the process?
Definitely Lightroom first. I'm switching back from Lightroom and Photoshop. But when I come back from a shoot, I'll I'll import the images into Lightroom. I'm horrible at organizing it in Lightroom, so it's kind of a hot mess in there, but I'll import in Lightroom, and then I'll do a rough sketch. It was just a rough edit sketch of a couple images that I think have the best potential. So I'll mark those, do a quick edit, probably about, 5 to 10 minutes or so on each image. And then I'll walk away, and then maybe I'll come back the next day or so and revisit that image, because right away I'm usually not in a creative state in terms of editing an image yet. I think it's really important to find that creative mindset before you start on any sort of image. So music's pretty crucial for me. So when I want to sit down and actually work thoroughly on an image, I'll start with putting on my headphones and putting on some music I enjoy. And then that really helps set the mood in terms of creativity. And then I can dig deeper into doing the Lightroom edit. And yeah, once I'm done, I think I've kind of set the color tone and think everything's looking good in Lightroom, I'll transfer it over to Photoshop and do the more specific edits with luminosity masks and specific like mid-tone contrast and all that jazz. So.
And are you using any dodging and burning on most of your images?
Most images I'll do a bit of dodge and burning. I think it depends on the image, how much is needed for it. But there's definitely dodging and burning involved. A lot of times there's focus stacking involved. I'm doing a fair amount when I'm zoomed in so close to an image. It's usually crucial if you want complete sharpness to do a little bit of focus stacking. So I'll do that as well. And then do all this spot healing and getting rid of little distractions here and there and Photoshop as well. So
the last question that I always ask here on the podcast is, if you had one piece of advice for a photographer that's trying to take better photos, what would it be? Doesn't have to be related to anything we've talked about today. Just one general piece of advice for someone that's trying to get better.
Oh, let's see. Probably don't be afraid to fail. And then I'm going to reemphasize just always go into it without expecting anything. I just think that's crucial. And just to always experiment with your images. I wouldn't be too concerned about what's popular on social media or any of that fun stuff. I'd stick to being genuine to yourself and react to anything that sparks your interest, and then just point your camera and shoot.
That's perfect. Lower your expectations and don't be afraid to fail. Well, thank you so much for being here today. Will you finally just wrap us up? Tell us where we can find more of your work. Where can we buy from you, learn from you, whatever you've got, lay it on us.
Oh, I mean, I don't do many workshops, and when I do, they're small ones. So, all my images can be found on my website, iangastonphotography.com. Other than that, I keep trying to shoot, and that's pretty much it.
Well, thank you so incredibly much for being here today. Really appreciate it. And I think there's a lot of really, really helpful things that people are going to like from this episode.
Of course. Thanks for having me, Austin.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but that episode is certainly going to help me in order to find some of the greater details in the grand landscape. So much great advice there from Ian Gaston, who's just, like I said, such a great photographer. Really love some of his stuff. Some of his small scene images, I think, are just absolutely phenomenal. Thanks again for listening to the Learn Landscape Photography Podcast. We'll see you guys next time. Have a good one. Bye-bye.